Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we hand the mic to the real disruptors, not just talkers. If you're tired and ready for real strategies that move the needle in your business, your mindset, and your message, you're in the right place. Today's guest is a guy who didn't just lose his first 10,000 in the stock market. He turned it into a $1 million education. And now he's the one teaching others how to ride the emotional chaos of trading like a pro without getting bucked off the bull. This conversation isn't just about trading. It's about what it takes to win in a high-stakes game where the only constant is change. We're talking mindset mastery, learning how to lose well, and getting brutally honest about the grit it takes to make it, whether you're building a portfolio or building a business. Anmol Singh is the founder of Live Traders, a performance coach, speaker, and author of the book, Prepping for Success, 10 Keys for Making It in Life. And he's not here to sugarcoat the road to success. He's been in the trenches since he was 18, navigating the ups and downs of the stock market and learning how to turn emotional losses into strategic wins. He's built a business that doesn't just teach people how to trade. It shows them how to think. Through Live Traders, he trains others how to make fast, logical decisions in fast-changing environments and how to separate their ego from their execution. Because in trading and in life, the people who succeed are the ones that stay calm when the ride gets wild. Whether you're a trader, a business owner, or just someone trying to stop repeating the same crazy mistakes, this conversation is packed with raw insight, hard-earned wisdom, and a real strategy you can use. Anmol, I really want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you.
So we got to talk about this. I say people go back to the beginning, but I never mean go back to the beginning of time. But no, you started really young. You've been trading since you were 18. But before the markets, who were you and what pushed you towards such a high stakes path so young?
Yeah, I think before I got into trading, first of all, trading was the last thing I thought I would ever be doing. I was a typical introvert, very shy kid, basically just being in my room or in my dorm room and just playing Xbox, right? I think so all that really changed was I substituted the Xbox for a computer that I now trade on and I run my business on, but I still have those elements. So yeah, it was just like a typical shy kid. I was horrible at math. Trading was the last thing I thought I'd ever do. But when I got into it, I just found myself becoming like really curious. And I think that's the basic law of success in any endeavor. Whether you do a business or in life, you should be like really curious about learning everything you can about that craft so that you know the ins and outs and you know how to proceed and navigate these markets or business for in general. But yeah, I think that's how my journey started in my dorm room, 18 years old, figuring out what do I need to do in my life. I wasn't sure where I was headed. And originally the plan was to just get a job because I saw my parents were entrepreneurs. So I saw like the ups and downs and I was like, I don't want to do that because some months they were really happy because the business was doing great. Some months business was struggling. The family was very stressed out. So I thought my path is going to be get a job, get a stable income so I can eliminate the ups and downs. And then there was a time where I was applying for internships and I couldn't get a call back. Nobody called me back, didn't get in anywhere, a couple interviews, but they didn't really go anywhere. And that's when it dawned on me that, okay, I can't just rely on the world or people to give me a job. Like I have to make something happen because I'm not going to waste 1 year without any internship and not do anything while I saw all my friends and my colleagues and my people in my dorm room getting different internships and jobs. And that's when I said, all right, I'm just going to hunker down in my computer and learn everything I can about this craft. Why do stocks go up? Why do they go down? Who decides that? I think the curiosity just kept me going and almost became like a video game, basically. I wanted to solve the puzzle. And so I think it took a lot of the video games I used to play and turning this into almost like a video game.
That's wild. And the funny thing is, here you are, you sound like you want to protect yourself from the ups and downs in life, like your parents' business. Yeah. So, of course, the stock market, What a natural transition that is. And I laugh because the first thing that I found out about you was right out of the gate, you lose $10,000. I want to know, what did that loss, what are those kind of losses? What did it teach you about yourself? And how did that become the foundation for your philosophy?
Yeah. So originally I borrowed money from my dad. I told him, hey, I have this idea. I'm going to trade the stock market. And I'm coming from a conservative Indian family. And my parents never owned any stocks, even till date. They never invest in the stock market. So they were like, are you sure you don't want to do this? Are you sure you just don't want to wait for another job or maybe join the family business or do something like that? And I was like, no, I really want to give it a go. I want to try it out. I think I got something here. And they're like, all right, we'll loan you the money. You got to pay us back. And then they thought it's going to be a hard lesson for me. I think the original plan was, let's give him the money. He's going to lose it. And he's going to learn the lesson the hard way. And that's why they gave me the money. They're like, all right, go out, learn the lesson. You're going to learn it the hard way. You should never gamble in the markets. So I started with that 10,000. I lost 7,000 of that, like very quickly, like in the span of like maybe a few weeks or a few months. Lost it 7,000, got left with $3,000. And I was like, I got to figure something out. Clearly what I'm doing is not trading. It's basically gambling or speculating on stocks. And there's got to be a way that I can learn it to do it the right way. And the remaining $3,000 I had, I invested in an online course, just paid the guy, learned everything I could about the stock market under him. And that became my mentorship. And I got really good at doing the research. I got really good at analyzing stocks, but I wasn't really good at trading at the time. I was just really good at analyzing it, almost like an analyst at a firm. So then I started writing a blog with just my thoughts. Here's my research. I don't have any money, but here's what I think about the stock. And I would write these articles. And then one day I got an email from like somebody in Yahoo Finance. They're like, hey, we went through your blog. Looks really good. You're writing really good research. Do you want to write as a freelancer for us? And at that time I was like, great. How much are you going to pay me? And I thought they're going to offer maybe $200, $100 an article as a college student. That was amazing. But they said, no, we're going to give you like anywhere from $500 to $1,500 per article. I was like, that is amazing. So I was like, okay, so I'm just going to sit home and I'm just going to write articles all day long. That's what they're going to pay per article. And I started writing for different publications, Yahoo Finance, different companies. And that's how I saved up and built the money back to get back to $10,000 that I had. And then I just started executing on everything that I learned by taking all of those online courses and started like really applying that to make that work. And now obviously I've made that $10,000 go really far and paid my dad back in the first year. After about 13 months of trading, paid him back the 10,000, and I still had money left over to continue my work with.
Absolutely love your story. I think that is such a great story. I can see what your parents were trying to do, but it turned out to be what a gift. Think about it. This is always one of my favorite parts of the interview when the audience and I get to see the trajectory of our guests and see where it started and where the gift really was. You start off in one direction, you realize, oh, that didn't work out for me, or this didn't work out for me. And then what they do with that opportunity that was exactly aligned with what they end up doing. If your parents hadn't lent you the money, who knows? Who knows? You have to have some money to start with. If you hadn't lost it, you might not have been such an avid student going out and paying to get the education. Maybe it had just been playing in the stock market. It would have been the game. So this is just a favorite part of my own side that I think, wow, it's always great to see how someone becomes such an expert in their field and how they got there. So you say that trading is more mental than it is technical. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, definitely. Trading, as we're looking at our accounts, we're looking at our profit and loss every day. And some days it's up, some days it's going down. There's like a roller coaster and you're not going to make money every single day. But if you're doing things the right way, you're going to make money every month, every quarter, every year. But not every day is going to be great. Not every week's going to be great. So you're learning how to ride those emotional roller coaster is a very key to trading. So what I mean by that is, take poker, for example. In poker, they talk about know when to hold it, know when to fold it. Same thing with trading. If you're just holding on to a stock that's just consistently going down and you're hoping it's going to go back up, hope is not a strategy, right? Hope is just you gambling. Then there's no difference between a gambler and a trader. A trader would have a strategy that he's tested over time. And then your only goal as a trader is to be basically disciplined, robotic, and just execute on that strategy over. And you're not worrying about that one trade or that one day. You're worried about the sample size of like 100 trades. So you're trying to get the odds, the statistics in your favor. So trading releases the same hormones of dopamine and serotonin and all those different things that get released when actual gamblers they tested are gambling, or when people are doing illicit drugs or anything like that. The same dopamine and serotonin are secreted. Now, as traders, we're getting that in real time every single day. So if you're not emotionally stable, if you don't know how to be centered and calm in the moment, then you're going to be influenced by emotions of fear, of greed, right? A stock is going up, but you never sell it and take your profit because maybe it's going to go up higher. So you keep holding. Or the stock's going down, and rather than just getting out and taking a small loss, you keep holding. Maybe it'll come back up. Let me buy more. And those fear and greed is what influences everybody's decision making in the stock market. And that is the difference maker because anybody can learn how to trade. Like I can teach anybody the strategies in maybe 3, 4 days. I can teach them all the strategies. But can they do it consistently? Can they follow it? Because I can't take the mouse and push the button for them, right? They have to do it themselves. And sometimes they get fear of pulling the trigger because they're risking their real money. And this business is unlike any other business because in any other business, you have what you're going to buy the product for, what you're going to sell it for. That's what it is. In trading, it's just you and the computer, and your emotional state is going to make sure what decisions you make. Because growing up, your parents are telling you what to do. Then you go to school, your teachers are telling you what to do. Then you go to college, your professors are going to tell you what to do. And then you go get a job, and your manager or your boss or your supervisor is going to tell you to do. In trading, nobody's going to tell you what to do. It's you and the computer and the mouse and the decisions you make. So I think that decisions have to be made from a place of emotional stability and from a place of confidence and a place of mental resilience, and you not getting swayed by the roller coaster that the markets are.
This is such a perfect analogy you gave as poker. That's a familiar topic for me. I came from the gaming industry and in marketing and dealing with poker when it became the huge craze with World Poker Tour. We were part of that wave. And I dealt with all the poker pros, the people that are best in the business. And you gave just the perfect comparison because the pros are the ones that know that this is a disciplined sport, that you have to be able to have a formula that you work with. And all of Las Vegas, let's say, all of gaming, all the casinos in the world, all of the floors are laid, the carpets are laid, and the paint is on the walls because of people that didn't know how to stop, didn't know how to call it a night and not go on that hunch. Because once you acquire the thing you were trying to do, it's a matter of having the discipline to hold it or to let it go. And I thought it was a perfect analogy that it is a discipline. The people that do well in life have a discipline and a mental commitment to staying even because the coaster will take you.
Yeah. And in this game, we're trying to be the casino rather than the player, right? So if you go to a casino and you win a big hand, you win $1 million, they're not going to mind. They're going to give you the money. In fact, they're going to say, hey, here's some free drinks. Here's a free stick. Keep playing. Keep playing because they know the
Because we're
longer
getting
you
it all
play,
back again.
at the end
Sure.
of it, they're going to get it back. And trading is the same way. I'm not worried about making money on that next trade or the next investment I'm going to make. It's about, okay, if I make 100 of them, all right, the odds need to be in my favor. I should win at least 60 of them, or at least if the winners should be twice the size of my average loser, then it's just a numbers game. It's all just statistics at the end of a 100 trade sample size. So we're trying to be the casino in that game and not get influenced by trade, what's happening. I could lose money today. It doesn't matter. What's going to look like at the end of the quarter? What's it going to look like at the end of the month, at the end of the year? So that's the kind of the way we use it.
So tell me, it's interesting. So you're accomplished, you're an accomplished trader, and you've learned the game, and you, but not just the game, the skill set, the mental acuity behind it. What's your deeper why behind all of this? Like beyond profits and portfolios, what drives you to teach and to speak and to lead others on this whole learning curve and the value of it?
Yeah, great question. I'll give you two answers to that. What was my why when I started, and what's my why now? So when I started, as I said, I was like a complete shy, introverted, didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So for me, I always had the desire, I want to be somebody. Originally, it was maybe coming from a not so great place. It was more like, I want to prove it to the world. I want to prove it to others I can do something and I could be somebody and I can make that money. Because early on, I had some relationships that didn't work out for me, and the women that I was in love with ended up going with somebody who was like a millionaire soccer player. And at that time, I was not making any money. I was completely broke. So that was kind of my why then, that if I just make enough money, then I'll be society, what society considers as successful. So it was coming from a place of hurt in the beginning. Okay, what does that guy have that I don't? I was like, I'm nice. I got everything. I just don't have the money. So that became my why early on growing up. is the why to make the money. And then when I got it, I got the success, I got everything I wanted, but I still was feeling like there's something missing. There's something like that I'm not fulfilled with, even though I have everything I want materially. I was not feeling that fulfillment. And that's when I got into the coaching. And when I got into coaching and I saw what it did for other people and how it transformed their life, or people who were not able to spend time with their family, they were not able to spend time with their kids because they're at work all the time, they're doing two jobs, or maybe they're coming home late and they get maybe 10 minutes. Or by the time they get home, their kid's already asleep. And by the time they wake up, the kid's already in school or they're already at work. The people who came into coaching with me and now they're doing it from home. They're running their trading business, making the same, if not more, that they were getting in their job, but they're doing it from home. They can take their kids to school. They can kiss them goodbye to school. They're home when they come home to bed. I think those kind of emails, when I get that became my why later on. So originally started from this place, and then it turned into, wow, all these emails that are coming in, just making them feel, made me feel worthy, made me feel better about myself. And then I kept feeding off that energy that people were giving. And that's my why of why I'm into coaching now.
It's such a great perspective, Amal. It's so powerful. People think if I just had the money, it'll fix everything. It's just the money that's missing. But really, it isn't the money. You'll get the money, you get the money, and then you realize, no, the much bigger things are those intangible things like time. I would rather have time than I would to have more money. Money doesn't make you happy, it makes you more comfortable.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily make you happy. And it's funny, once you set a bar, let's say it's six figures. Let's just go with that. Oh, if I just made 100,000. Trust me, when you make that 100,000, it then turns into just a number. I remember that was a number I had at one point was I'll make 100,000, it'll be this. Nope, you know what it turned out to be? Just a number, 100K. It didn't change anything other than, hey, it was an accomplishment. That's great. Next. Okay, but none of the things are important like the things you talked about, kissing your kids goodnight or getting to spend time with the person you chose that you're in love with. That's really so you got to find a way to make it. Let me go after something that's interesting about you. So many things. But that one of your key teachings is how to lose the right way. That's a really bold take. Tell us what that means. Why is that essential for long-term success?
Yeah, whether you get into a business, whether you get into trading, whether you get into any endeavor in life you do, you're gonna have failures. You're gonna have moments where what you thought was the plan didn't pan out that way. We're all gonna have that. But how you can get comfortable with that is the number one key. Because if you're aiming for something big in life, you're also aiming for bigger obstacles. A lot of people don't look at that. They just look at this goal that I have, but they don't look at the cost of that goal or what comes with that goal. So the bigger the goal, the bigger the problems. Now, that's not a bad thing. If you learn to lose the right way. And what I mean by that is getting A, comfortable with taking those losses, right? Taking those failures, and B, not letting them hold you back, not letting them deter your whole week or your month, but looking at them as learning lessons, looking at them like, hey, I've already lost, I've already spent the money losing it. Let me take the lessons from that and reiterate and work through what Carol Dweck talks about in her book, Mindset, the growth mindset, right? Having, okay, not what happened, but okay, what are we gonna do about it? How are we gonna fix it? What's the next step? And that I use even with my team. If my team comes to me with a problem, I'm like, okay, don't come to me with a problem unless it's accompanied by a potential solution that you might have. So it might be like, hey, this is not going well in the business. Great, but here's what we can do about it. So always reframing what happened. Okay, now what are we learning from that? How are we going to improve about it? So with trading, it's the same way. If you're brand new to investing or trading in the stock market, you shouldn't be risking all of your money in one stock or one crypto or anything like that. You should just get comfortable with taking those paper cuts. Right? Take those paper cut losses, learn so that you're only losing a little bit amount, and taking those losses, and now you can learn from that, reiterate, and then you can start risking more and more money. I think that's the same thing with entrepreneurship too. If your client leaves you, okay, what did you learn from that? Who did he end up going with? Why did they go with that client? What's he offering that I'm not offering? And again, reiterate and improve your business, and then you're going to be stronger the second time. So I think that's what I mean by learning to lose the right way. Because if you're going to do something meaningful in life, you're going to lose at some point, right? You're going to lose. And if you don't lose, you're not trying hard enough, in my opinion, or you're not aiming big enough if you're not losing. So just getting comfortable with that, and then but keeping your eyes always on the vision and using those failures as like stepping stones as you step on them to get towards your goal.
So good, so good. So many of those mistakes that you perceive as the things you perceive as mistakes or the things that feel like setbacks are really like the next opportunity on its way. That setback needed to happen. because there's benefit to it. There's something to you talk about emotional control and decision-making under pressure. What are the biggest mindset traps that keep traders and entrepreneurs stuck? You know, how do you help people overcome that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I see is people, the need to be right, the ego. If you can just get rid of the ego and the need to be, that's a game changer. Because I think a lot of people in trading, at least, they lose because of those reasons. No, I think this stock is going to go up because this company is going to do this. I'm like, but what if it doesn't? They're like, no, but it's going to. I'm like, but what if it doesn't? Like, you have to be prepared for the worst case scenarios. And the stock, they keep holding it. It's going down. But they're like, no, it's going to come back for sure. I'm like, now you're just trying to be right. Clearly, you're wrong. If it was supposed to be going up, it'd already be going up. It's going down right now. What are we going to do about that now? Managing your money is number one key. Because again, going back to, I guess, a gaming or a poker analogy is like, in order to win, you need to bet. In order to bet, you need to have chips. If you run out of your chips, you can't bet, right? So you have to have the chips enough, long enough to be in the game to be able to bet and to win. And I think that's the key, is managing your money, whether if you're an entrepreneur, you're running your business, right? Running the cash flow, managing the cash flow correctly, managing the inventory correctly, right? If you store products, you need to manage all of that. So it's not about being right. It's about doing what's right for the business.
How do you train people to make really sharp, logical decisions when the data is constantly changing? You really work with people that you're helping people master chaos. What does leadership look like that inside of that kind of volatility? The stock market, that's a spooky place to be for those of us that don't spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, I think a lot of my coaching that I go, it starts with the fundamental principle of integrity. So it's one of the success keys in the book, Prepping for Success, the 10 keys for making it. So one of the keys is integrity, which is being a man or woman of your word, being a person of your word, right? Do what you say you're going to do, and then do it when you said you're going to do it. That is the foundation of everything. Because how many times people say, I have this desire to do this, and then you ask them a few months later, they still haven't done it. So there's a disconnect between what they say they want versus what their actions are showing that they want. And we have to bridge that disconnect. And I think, and again, you probably like me, know people in our lives that are like, you see an old friend at a shopping mall or airport, you're like, hey, so good to see you. We should totally make plans to catch up. And then you never follow up with them to ever catch up with them. Or maybe somebody calls you and you say, hey, I'm just in the middle of something, let me call you back. And you never do. So these are all words that we're just saying, but we don't actually mean. Because if we meant it, we'd follow through on it. So it's going back to why we say certain things. Is it we're trying to look good? We're trying to be polite. We're trying not to just look bad. We're just trying to be nice. But what we're doing is we're training our unconscious mind to not believe in our own word, even when we do these small little breaks in integrity. Because what that happens is over time, you say you want to achieve a goal, but your mind unconsciously start thinking of all the time you said you're going to do things and you didn't. And then that leads into a cycle of you didn't keep your word, creates low self-confidence. That low self-confidence creates low self-esteem. And then we repeat the cycle over and over again. And next time you're trying to do something, your unconscious mind's like, you're not going to do it. You're just full of it. You just say it. So the disconnect, the bridging that gap is number one key. And you like me know people during 2020, they're like, I want to start my podcast. I want to start my business. I want to start my side thing. I want to write a book. I just don't have the time. I'm at my job all the time. And in 2020, they had a lockdown. They had all the time in the world. They still didn't do it. So there's a disconnect between what they say they want and what the actions show. And so integrity is doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, whether you feel like it or not. I think is, and it goes back to scheduling things. So if I say if I'm going to do something, it better have a time slot on my calendar when I'm going to actually do it. Otherwise, it's not going to get done. Schedule things that get scheduled get done. Things that don't get scheduled is just a wish.
Boy, I love the focus on integrity because believe it or not, I agree with you that if you are putting it out there, you think that it's with the other person, but the truth is the integrity is with you. It's your own integrity in what you do. And when that starts to fail, it starts to leak into other places. I really love that you brought that focus to it. It's not about that you told the other guy, yes, it matters. It is that you said you were going to do something, you didn't do it. But the price is paid by you. The other person will probably roll along and be fine, but you'll know. And then you don't trust yourself. Why would anybody else trust you? It's an internal job, right? It's internal work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the words you give to others and the words you keep to yourself. They're both really important because, again, if you don't believe in your own word, how do you expect the universe to believe in you? How do you expect your clients to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself? So I think that's step one, the words you keep with yourself and then the word you give to others. Because then, again, look what that does to my business. Like my team knows if I commit to something and I give them a deadline, is going to be done at the deadline. If it something happens that it can't, they're going to see a communication well before that deadline of a new deadline or when it's going to be get done. So when I say something to my team, they know it's going to get done. And the same way, because I lead from example, they know the same thing as well. If they give me a word, they better follow through on that word, because that's just the commitment we keep to each other, is to be a person of integrity, be a man or woman of our word.
And therein lies trust. Such an important thing, whether it's between boss and employee, or husband and wife, or your client, you know, who you're selling to. I love that focus on that. That's terrific. So you obviously are the one to write the book, Prepping for Success, 10 Keys to Making It in Life. What made you decide that this was a book, that's time had come, that you really wanted to do this?
Yeah, originally I wrote this for myself. Like, it's written a while ago as notes to myself on the things that I need to do in my own life to achieve the level of success that I wanted. And I attended like a lot of workshops, hired a lot of coaches, mentors, spiritual retreats. Like, I really went all in on my personal development. And I probably spent hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point, more than that probably. And then I took all of the learnings that I took and I wrote it down. Okay, here's the common themes that I learned from everywhere. Here's the 10 things that if I do them, I'll achieve the success in my life. And I started executing on that. I started living like that, right? Exactly what I wrote. And I saw how my life improved, levels of success that I attained. And at that time, I dawned on me, okay, this is a kind of a book that I wish somebody gave me like 10 years ago, would have made life so much easier. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to do that for others. I'm going to write down everything I learned so that they don't have to spend the time or the money that I spent learning all of this, and giving them in a format that they can just start implementing it right away. And every chapter of the book ends with, here's the five things to do this week before you move on to the next chapter. Because I don't want it to be like a book that people are like, oh, great book, I read it all. I'm like, really? You read it all? Okay, did you do what it says on chapter three? Did you do that? Right? I don't want it to be a book that people just read and they claim they've read 100 books. So every chapter will end with, here's the four or three things you need to do before you move on to the next chapter. So that way, if you do it in that format, you're going to make it a part of your life. You're going to actually implement it, which is what most people miss with reading books, is they don't actually implement things. They just gather a lot of information. And true knowledge is applied knowledge. Otherwise, you're just hoarding information.
True. I run into people that say, I don't need any coaching. I've read 100 books, and you think, but what did you implement with this? And I love it that you position this book as a supportive companion versus it being a rule book. I think that's really helpful too, because it lets people realize there are some things that you're doing it for yourself, not for somebody else.
Yeah. And again, people say all the time, like, how many books I've read? I'm like, so if you read all these books, why does your life not demonstrate you taking action on any of it? So I'd rather you read one book 1,000 times and start implementing it. So anytime, like, I read a book in my life right now, I'll read it a few pages and I'll put the book down and I'll be, okay, what did I really learn? And how do I use it in my life? Where am I going to apply it? And once I figure out where it's going to be applied, only then I continue on with the book. Because if I didn't learn anything, there's no point in like just reading and wasting my time. So I think that's the best way to read books, is to read a few pages, put it down. What did I learn? How does that apply in my life? Where am I going to implement it? Okay, now we can continue reading. So I think that's what a lot of people miss, is to just keep hoarding information. And more information is not going to change your life. It's the more implementation and more execution.
Execution, that's the name of the game and the toughest thing. It's like finding the right trainer. There's 1,000 trainers out there, but which ones did you implement what they gave you? That's really the key here. That's the great coach that requires that says, no, we're not moving forward until you implement. I think that's really powerful. I know that's important in my coaching business. So I really feel, and there's a lot of, oh, here, watch another video, listen to another audio. No, put this to work, or there was no point for either one of us. You need to get it done. So tell me, with all of this, and I love in the very beginning you said you were an introvert, a guy no good at math, so of course you're a stock trader, and this kind of shy person that was in his room, and then you figure out, wow, public speaking, trading's very digital, but your message really clearly needs a stage. What was the time or the impetus that made that public speaking become a critical part of your business?
Yeah, so originally in college, I got myself into all the groups, societies, clubs that I could join, anywhere I could speak. Because I first, the goal was I just wanted to get rid of my shyness, right? I wanted to get rid of that because I knew that to create any level of success in business and life, you need to know how to communicate. You need to learn how to communicate. You need to be out there exchanging your energy with people. And that's how relationships are built, and that's how a business thrives. So I knew that early on that I need to master that. I can't just be that shy kid and introvert if I have these goals. Originally started by just me wanting to just get out there, look stupid, right? Get better and develop my communication skills. And then overall, then I realized, okay, this is basically communication is everything. That's what ties into your business. And then I started first just doing online. We're doing podcasts, like webinars, just getting comfortable with speaking online. And then I was like, okay, I could start doing it in person because there's something about, especially in person, when you connect with people, they can sense your energy that I think it just creates the best clients because now the clients are there for you. They're not there for that, let's say the outcome, or they're there for the outcome, but they're not there for the end result. They are more connected with you now. And then you get better clients. That's what I found because you could get clients through paid ads, but there's no better client than a client who actually gets and communicates with you because now they're in your world, you're in their world. You get to sense their energy, they get to sense your energy, and they're likely to be your best clients that are going to be going deeper with you than just somebody who clicked on an ad and downloaded an ebook. So that's how I use public speaking, at least for my business, whether it be podcast shows like yours, whether it be going at different mastermind groups, whether it be speaking at different events, whether hosting my own events. And I think that is a skill that every business owner needs to have and need to master is your voice and your communication.
I think that's very true. That's been my experience as well. And really, I love that you mentioned that it changes the kind of clients that you attract. It really does. When they feel you and they know you, that it's such an easy transition to that they want more of you because now they have a little bit of a know and trust factor that they wouldn't have had just picking up your book or possibly seeing you off in the distance. They have a feel for how you deliver and what it'd be like to be in business with you. I'm really thrilled to hear you say that. So tell me something of all the things that you've accomplished, and especially your growth process over the years, what's something that you're extremely proud of?
I think more than any accomplishment, I'm proud of the person I've become in that journey, right? I'm proud of the character that you develop, the leadership skills you develop. So I'm just overall develop, I guess, my personality. Because as I mentioned early on, I was still figuring out who am I? What is my personality? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And I think that growth process of working on yourself gives you your purpose, gives you your why, and gives you a confidence that you probably didn't have, or at least I didn't have in the beginning. So I think for me, it's just the person I've become over time and doing things for the right way, for the right why, for the right purpose, rather than for the wrong materialistic reasons that originally got into it in the first place for.
I love that answer. In the end, this is all such a personal journey, no matter what you're pursuing. In the end, it's so much about who you are, how you show up in life. Most of the time in life, it's just about showing up. It's so important to show up. What's next on the horizon for you? What are you most fired up about?
What I'm most fired up about is my mastermind group we've been running. We started it this year, and it's been just not only like the growth of the mastermind group, but like the wins that people are sharing, right? The growth that they've seen. Because in the mastermind, we're not just working on finances, we're not just working on the business. That's the first pillar, right? The first pillar is to achieve financial security. So we get that the finances piece sorted out. But now that we got the finances, okay, let's fix our health. Let's fix everything that finances can be used to fix. So using financing as a tool. And it's just great to see people who were just traders, investors, that all they were known for was the money game. And now we're talking and we're opening up. We're talking about our lives. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about communication. We're talking about developing into the person you want to be so that you can look at yourself in the mirror and feel perfectly amazing about yourself. So that's what I'm really excited about is how the mastermind's progressing. It just launched this year, but there's so many amazing transformations happening in there.
So it sounds like that's for a little bit more of an advanced, that's the advanced program, your mastermind. How do people who are just starting, who are fresh into this, that are entrepreneurs, they want to get in and learn a little bit about it. They might have a little money to invest. Is there an opportunity for them to get involved with you, or how do they find out where to start, how to start?
Definitely. I think a good first step would be to just grab a copy of my book, because those are like the fundamental foundational ways that I think, so that if we ever do anything in the future together or work together, like we got to be aligned in at least the way we think. So I think getting the book is the first step, that they can just go to gogo.unmold.net and they'll be able to grab a copy of the book. And that'll give you all the foundational elements that I've used in my own life. I think that's a really good starting point. And then obviously, if they're interested to go further, they want to talk about trading or investing, or they're talking about the mastermind, they could just connect with me on social media. I'm active on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, pretty much all platforms. So they can reach out to me there, and my website as well, unmold.net.
Fantastic. This was such an excellent episode. And I can't thank you enough for showing up with such raw honesty and sharp insight. And you didn't sugarcoat the journey at all, but you're beyond just sharing tips. You share a mindset that really separates pros from pretenders. And that's exactly what our listeners and people are in need of. And I love the focus on integrity, not just integrity out in the world, but personal integrity. So thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. It's really good chatting with you.
Oh, there are so many wonderful points in this show that I think people are going to want to listen to this again. And I love that you are the perfect example of losing early can be your greatest teacher if you're willing to pay attention. And that mental discipline, it isn't optional. It's the whole game. And when you stop fearing the roller coaster and you start studying it, that's when everything changes. This is such a good perspective. Anybody who wants more from Unmol, and honestly, who wouldn't? Head over to livetraders.com. You can also score a free copy of his book, Prepping for Success, 10 Keys for Making It in Life. And just go to go.onmol, A-N-M-O-L.net. He will send you the book for free. You just have to cover the shipping. So you're all set. It's not fluff. It's straight up clarity for anyone serious about building a better life. Unmol really uses public speaking really like a scalpel. He's precise, he's intentional, and he's very transformative. And it's helped him build authority and attract aligned clients and teach people how to lead themselves in high pressure moments. That's the kind of energy that doesn't just educate, it elevates. So Unmol, we're grateful for you for taking the time to share your voice and your perspective. We got to do this again sometime. I hope you'll come back on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To everyone out there, if this episode resonated for you, please let us know. I love comments. Please, I'll turn off my phone next time. Please, I want to hear from you. Please share this. If you want to subscribe, I promise you, I think we have the best guests around. You can share it, drop us a comment. That's how we build this momentum. This show is about showing you how public speaking isn't just powerful, it's catalytic. And if you know how to use your voice, everything changes. Your business grows, your message lands, and the right people start showing up. It's proven every time. So thank you for being with us, everybody. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to the Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.